So 6:32, and I'll call the meeting to order and ask everyone to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right, roll call. So, Adam, you're here. Bob,
present.
You're here. Kathy,
here.
You're here.
Yes, here.
And I'm here. So we have a quorum. And we'll move on to item number four. Ellen is not going to be participating tonight, by the way, so there'll be portions that we're just going to skip over. We don't have the minutes yet, but I'm told that we'll have minutes for September and October, either tomorrow or Monday. And then we have now been assigned a permanent recording secretary. So we should be getting caught up and moving forward with the minutes. I apologize. Item number five, additions, deletions, corrections. It's a special meeting, so there are none. Public portion. Is there anyone here from the public who would like to speak? Okay. Hearing none. We'll move on. Seven, under old business. Ken, you know, I'm going to just, he's not here. I think he might be coming. I'm going to bump.
Ken's here.
I'm sorry. I was on mute, Linda. I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, sometimes that's difficult. I've had that problem too. So we're up to you. Everybody's gotten a copy of Ken's report. It's pretty extensive. Ken, would you like to go through highlights, or are there things that you would want to talk about particularly?
Yeah, just a couple things to highlight because I think it's good news. So on the funding front, so we think we're close on the mainstream application that we talked about in the past. And the other good news I wanted to share is we had applied for additional CARES Act money for HAPS, and we were awarded $58,000 and change that goes to help more families. So that means the reserve funds don't get drained as much. So that's all good news. On the family self-sufficiency front, there was training in there. It's all spelled out in the handout. I won't steal Laura's good news, but she was able to add someone else to the program, and we're working together on some additional marketing to bring folks in to kind of close the gap to backfill the program. Laura's done a good job of getting people to graduate, and so now we've got openings to refill. So we're working to do that. And the one last thing I just wanted to share, because the rest of it is just kind of vanilla, is on the audit. Last month we talked about, I gave a little bit of a concern, and we might, you know, under this audit that we're about to go through, find out some negative stuff just based on the time period that they were looking at. And I'm happy to report that it seemed to be the feedback that we got was very positive. You know, we've had some experience with the auditor. They were impressed that the files were organized. They remember the situation from the past. And so we basically, I think, you know, I'm not saying that we're not going to get some comments on the audit, but it's not, I think, the worst fear that I had shared in the past. So I'm hoping that what they told us verbally is what we'll see in the report, but all signs were that it was a very positive audit given the circumstances. So I just wanted to share that good news. And that's really it, Linda.
That is really good news. Just for, let's go on for a minute to the PHA plan, because I just want to let the board know that we've scheduled a public hearing for the January meeting, January 7th, 2021. We're going to start the meeting at 6:15, 15 minutes early, to allow time for the public to speak on that. Ken, is there anything that you want to else you want to say about that?
No, I think it's spelled out in the update that I provided. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions on Ken's report?
Ken, this is Joan. Are you any closer to having a meeting with the residents that we discussed in June that I was going to help you orchestrate?
That's kind of our next priority. So we're trying to pace ourselves with all this stuff, but I think that's the next big project to get on our list. The only unfortunate thing is now we're going into a time period where things are tightening up, so it's going to create some new challenges, but we'll keep pushing forward, Joan.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions for Ken? Okay. Ken, thank you so much, as always.
All right. Thank you. Have a good meeting, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, Joan.
You too now. Take care.
Okay.
You're up.
Oh, my love. So the only thing that I can add, you know, that I inadvertently had neglected to thank Laura for getting the Derby Fire Department to do a turkey dinner again for the residents. And that will be cooked and delivered the Wednesday prior to Thanksgiving. So Diana and I have been collecting the forms. So, and anytime I see someone, I remind them, and you know, that it's quite a nice thing. And Laura got it all together and even did the flyer. So I've just been the recipient of it. So that was nice. And
she does a great job on that. She's been doing it for a few years on, you know, with a little, not much support.
No, very nice. And it's a lot.
So we appreciate how many folks have signed up?
I don't know how many Diana has. We're going to meet on Tuesday morning. I have about 30.
Okay.
Yeah. Not naturally, I have a lot from Steiger, where I suspect a lot of the CC and Guardiano residents mailed the form back with their rent. So I think Diana has quite a few. So.
Okay, good. Very good.
Yeah. And the other thing, I got a call today. Oh, I'm sorry, Linda. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
I got a call from Remy today at St. Vincent de Paul at the food bank. And she was able to negotiate some very good prices with a butcher that she knows. And she's we're probably going to do this next Thursday. She is anticipating getting 30 turkeys, small turkeys, or turkey breasts, I think she thought would be best, and the trimmings. And I'll go by income to deliver them to the lowest income people, and we'll divide it among the property. So probably a 9 at Guardiano, 10 at Steiger, and 11 at CC, because it's a bigger property. So I think that's really nice. She's been hoping to do that, and we've been, you know, trying to make sure it's the lowest income people, you know, that will be the recipients.
That's really lovely.
Yes. Thank you. She's wonderful. Thank her for us. Yeah, she's delightful. And, you know, it makes it, she wants to do it, but doesn't know quite how to approach reaching the residents that need it. So it's easy for us to work together on that. Also today, just maybe you guys all know, and this again was something Laura Wabnos sent me, but we discussed that we had a Valley Senior Service Council meeting this afternoon, which was mainly discussing the Valley Index. And we had worked very hard when the index was being worked on by the foundation to incorporate and have a separate section for seniors. They were always kind of lumped in with the population in general, but they did do a separate section for us, and the need for housing, transportation, and funding has become much more evident for the senior population. And as we all know, Connecticut's the 7th oldest state, and we're at the Valley area is aging faster than the rest of Connecticut. So there's team was involved in this also. So they're trying to work on different things along with the Agency on Aging to help the seniors, particularly those that are home alone due to COVID and without any internet access, which as Kathy and I found out is quite a challenge because the connection just isn't good in, you know, throughout Derby. But it was nice to see that the Valley Senior Service Council is going to focus more on some of these issues, along with Bev Kidder, who's a big proponent of the Valley helping seniors. So, but what I started to say, I got diverted. Rotary is doing for Derby and Shelton seniors December 5th through the 8th. They're willing to deliver 5-gallon buckets of sand and salt for seniors or disabled, anyone 65 or older, to be used for the winter months for sidewalks and driveways. And you can just contact Kim Ryan at Curtis Ryan, and she will put your senior that, you know, you folks know a lot more seniors that would probably benefit from this in Derby than I do. So just an FYI.
Some of us are seniors.
Yeah, I know that. I live in Seymour.
Yeah, just a little joke there.
Yeah, a little side note. So,
yeah. Okay. So thank you for that. Anything else that you want to talk about?
No, just that I was on the Valley Senior Service Zoom today, and I've normally done it from home, but I've been too busy to be home. So I've been at the office a full day, and I didn't realize how old the computer is there. I didn't have a mic or a camera. So people kept saying, Joan, I think you're there, but we can't hear you or see you. So that was, I think, you know, we do this monthly, so I have to try to remember to bring the laptop in for the next meeting. So I was kind of invisible.
Aw. Hopefully one day we'll get that taken care of.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but
commissioners, any questions for Joan? Okay.
Okay. Thanks, have a great
Joan,
evening. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you as well.
Sure. Thank you. Bye bye now.
Bye. All right. I'm going to move on to update on the CC Manor construction. That continues to go forward. We went into the community room last Thursday when they had the meeting, and they're starting to make plans to put the floor down. I think we're going to have to get a pod because they had requested the storage room be cleaned out. One of the issues was that when our maintenance folks were there, you know, they had their work things in that room, but not in any particular good order. And so it was really hard to get to the electrical panel. It was hard to get to a lot of things. And so the generator, you know, is going to be going through some of that. And some of the changes in the community room are going to be going through some of that. So they asked us to clean. And Ellen asked the folks from Imagineers to move it. And so some of it is in the men's room. Fortunately, we're not really using that community room except for the laundry. And the rest is in the little office in there. So I think we're going to have to get a pod so that when they do the flooring, at least short term for the pod, we can get the floor down. They're really moving along well. I did a site walk again with Peter Testa. He's the man who wrote the grant for us, and with the architect, Andrew Tarpel. And we looked at the lighting, and we were talking about maybe 8 to 10 new lights and different kinds of heads that will dissipate the light in a side to side way, as opposed to in a big round circle, that would make it less disruptive to people, but would still give us more lighting, because I think we all agree that that's probably the most dangerous neighborhood in the city, and a lot of our folks are really nervous about living there. So more lights. We talked too about cameras, and I walked them through all of the little paths, the concrete paths, and pointed out where the cracks were. And I think some of that can be filled over, but then I got them to Anson Street, because if you've walked that piece of Anson Street in front of our property, you know how bad it is. It's what Ellen fell on. It's what somebody else fell on. And the city tells us it's ours. And I have to believe it, because Ed Armenia was out there. The mayor was out there, and the mayor's been really responsive to us. So if they tell us it's ours, it's ours. And so whatever we have left, we're hoping to do that as a phase two in the spring. It's too late to kind of do that. The architect was a little nervous because the concrete walkway is paved on the side by granite blocks, and some of the blocks are in bad shape and some of them are crooked. It's going to be a major project, and they haven't priced it out yet, but we're hoping that whatever money is left at the end, that could be phase two for the spring and get that taken care of. I don't know how else we might do that. But they're moving along at a good pace, and they're still telling us that they think we can start filling those three apartments for January 1st, which is pretty exciting. Any questions? Next meeting is on the 19th. If anybody wants to join us, it's downstairs in the basement of the the old administration building. So you can come and walk the site and see some of the work that's being done. It's pretty cool. Okay, update on cameras at Guardiano. It's not the camera. The camera is actually there. It's the Wi-Fi, and I can't get Steph to talk to me. I texted him before the last meeting. I texted him before this meeting. I don't have a response. If Ellen has it, I did actually call her before the meeting to update a couple of things so I could give you a little bit more information, but I didn't ask about that. I promise you next month I'll pin Steph down if I have to make him come. Any questions about that? Okay, Kathy, I think I inadvertently missed E last month. I think I went right over it. Is there anything that you want to say about the technology programs and options available to residents for that?
No, there's really nothing new. I mean, the biggest obstacle is that there's no Wi-Fi service in that area. There's definitely a blockage at Guardiano and over mm-hmm. at Steiger as well. And I don't know what the results were at CCA, but the other two, there was really little reception and Wi-Fi problems. So it's not even just like using a phone service. Routers, I think it was Xfinity or Frontier. I'm not sure which one that Joan and I had talked with. And there's just really, I don't know what answers are there for that.
I'm not sure either. Gentlemen, any thoughts on this? Okay. All right. And by the way, let me say that this is tonight is Kathy's last meeting. She's decided that her term is up. So she decided not to ask to be extended. I thank you for all your hard work. You've been amazing and a valuable part of the team. You're going to have somebody's going to have very big shoes to fill.
I enjoyed all of my years on this board. Linda, you definitely helped make it a good group. You definitely were a good leader. And I think that we accomplished a lot and we were a strong team and we got along well. And the only reason I'm really leaving is I just have so many balls up in the air and I'm doing so much. The term is ending November 30th and I'm just gonna pass it along to someone else. But thank you, everybody.
We understand.
Thank you, Kath.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome, Adam and Rob and Bob.
Fortunately, you're my neighbor, so you're not going to get that far from me. But
yeah, we're going to be going together, making a wreath pretty soon, hopefully.
Hopefully. Right. All right. Update on current maintenance situation. So Ellen's not here. I'm not going to beat a horse. But I did have her send you a packet because I can tell you that we asked for Flumar to be replaced because he just didn't seem to be working out. He would report something as being done and the resident would call in and say it's not fixed and it was marked as done and Flumar would go back out there and say it's okay. And I don't know whether he didn't know how to do something and he didn't feel he was getting the supervision or he was comfortable asking because it would reflect on his performance. I don't know, but we were ending up having to send people out three times. There was an issue. And if I talked about this last month, it stopped me, but the timers had to be changed when the light started to get darker, earlier in the day and the timers needed to be changed and Flumar couldn't find them, which is not his fault. We didn't have the luxury of having Anna or Lou being able to transition them. So Ellen called Lou and he told her where the timers were. And so Mike went out and they couldn't do it. They didn't know how to set the timers. And then Mike ended up calling an electrician to set the timers. So it's getting a little, but be that as it may, we asked for Flumar to be replaced and he has been replaced. We have a new gentleman named Jimmy. I asked Ellen to enclose the bills only because I want you to see what we're paying. What we paid Anna and Lou annually was $51,870. And as of, well, from September, in for a month, September 27th of this year to October 30th, we paid Imagineers $13,000. We have a unit at CC Manor. It's vacant. It's been vacant. They've been working on this since September. It's number 12. They bring in a painting company. They apparently don't do it all. So they bring in a painting company. The painting company and the flooring company don't kind of communicate. So sometimes people are in each other's way, or they've painted after the floor was down, and certain things are still not getting done. So we'll continue to pass that along. And I'm sorry that Ellen and Diana weren't here. I think sometimes when you hear it from them, it's a little bit different. But I think we need to keep an eye on what this is costing us down the road. So I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, you know, Linda, I agree. It's a pretty detailed, summary of Imagineers, and some of it just doesn't make sense. There's a few notes there that I think, are they from Ellen, about the amount of hours and how much per hour? It doesn't seem to add up.
It doesn't.
And you know what? Just this month, we paid a bill to Jacozy Plumbing, which I'm hoping it was about $14,000. What I'm hoping is that's the last time we used Jacozy Plumbing to fix, you know, certain plumbing issues. I'm hoping that Imagineers, that who, you know, Jimmy calls someone if he can't handle it and they come over. But there's a couple papers from Imagineers where the hours and what we're supposedly paying per hour is really high. And
well,
I think we kind of need
I can tell you. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying we kind of need an explanation as to if it's this many hours, which they total, which is fine. It's pretty detailed. But then you look at what they're charging us, it doesn't make sense.
Well, it might make sense in that when Jimmy or Flumar didn't know what to do, they called Mike. So now we're paying Mike and Flumar, or Mike and Jimmy. And if they didn't know, then they called in a professional. So sometimes we've got three people working on the same project. For example, and again, I'm sorry that Ellen's not here, but on number 12, Jimmy's supposed to be doing the flip on the apartment. They brought in a painting company, and then they brought Flumar in to polish the floors, to wax the floors, because he's a good waxer. So now we have a painting company, and we have a flooring company, and we have Flumar doing the floors, and we have Jimmy doing some other things. And here we are, a month and a half into this apartment flip, and it's still not ready. And I can track, but I can't even tell you what we've put in to flip that apartment so far. I know that we purchased out from a couple of different people. Ultimate Cleaning was doing it, and then I think was it City was City was working too.
It was like 13. Nobody. I believe it was $1,300.
Right. Nobody took a month and a half. It would be really helpful, because I don't know how to do any of this. I don't understand. You can talk to me till you're blue in the face about repairs and whatever. I just don't get it. If not to be sexist here, but if one of you gentlemen would like to take over that piece, it would be really helpful, because you all might understand better and be able to have a comeback when these guys, well, you know, this is what happened. I don't know. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. I don't know enough about it to feel competent in that area.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it comes down to a basic accountability, though. We have to determine who the point is on the issue, and then have them effectively GC the project.
Well, I guess that would be Mike. I guess at one point we needed windows replaced in a unit. It was one window, and it was $1,300. And even I know That's crazy. And so I asked Ellen for the number of the project manager, and I said, you know, why would we need $1,300 windows? I had two replacement windows put in my garage. I think I paid $800 for two. And he's like, well, I don't use, you know, the replacement ones I use for new construction. Why? Do you need to? I don't know. Do you need to? But come to find out, the next thing we know, we get a bill for one for $800. They brought it down all that much. And so I guess sometimes you have to know when to push back.
Yeah, that's just the minding the store type issue. And it's frustrating that we have to do that.
I agree. So if anybody would like to take on liaison with this maintenance and take a closer look at it, someone who might understand the ins and outs of it better than I do, I would be so grateful. You don't have to decide tonight, but it would be very helpful to me, because I listened to the ladies, and that's why I finally said to her, let me see it in dollars. I will understand the dollars and cents better. And so here's the packet, and I can continue to do that month after month. But we asked them too, because, and we'll talk about it when I get to Ellen's report, at Guardiano number 18, where we had the fire. And the insurance company is paying all but the deductible, which is $2,500. So they want us to monitor. They want us to make sure that everything that they're paying for is getting put in. And so who do we have to do that? Ellen asked Mike to do it. I hope he's doing it. I'm going to have to start asking for written reports, because I don't know that he's doing it. And at the end of the day, we're beholden to the insurance company. I certainly don't want to have to repay them anything.
Okay, why don't you give Mike my contact info, and we'll have that communication.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate that. I will do that. All right. Any other discussion on that? Okay. New business. Okay, so I wanted to, Ellen and I were going to put together a clarified job description, and Ellen was to finish it up, and that didn't happen. So I want to put this off, but you know, part of that was driven by the fact that Joan, who does a fabulous job and is so responsive to our residents, puts in a lot of hours. And you know, this is only funded for 18. It got cut to, it was at 20. I don't know why it got cut. Nobody seems to know. But here in the middle of this pandemic, it got cut by 2 hours. And she puts in full-time hours. And, you know, I've said to her, I don't know. I worry about that. I worry about the liability. I worry about a lot of things. So we thought maybe if we were able to somehow write a job description, it would help her stay within the hours. I don't know. Joan, are you still here?
No, she's not. Off? No, she's okay, gone.
Okay. Okay. To help her feel comfortable about not providing all of the best service all of the time. I know there was one time she spent 3 hours waiting in line at Nolan Field when they were giving away free food to make sure people who didn't have cars got it. It's a wonderful thing, but if you're working 18 hours, is that the best way to spend your time? And I know that she documents, you know, she documents her paid time and her unpaid time. And then I worry about our own liability, because if something should happen and we know that she's been doing this and are complicit by our silence, where do we stand, you know, down the road? She says, I'm happy to do it. And I believe with all my heart that's true. But is it the best way? So I'm going to bump that until we have a job description, and we'll hash it out with Joan's participation. I want her to be a participant here. I think in some ways she felt a little left out. She tells me she didn't know who her immediate supervisor was. So I want to fix all that. I want to try to build a better working relationship. It seems like that's the only place where some of it is broken down. And you know, we want everybody to, we're small, we're just like a little family. So we want to make sure everybody's comfortable and happy and doing a job that they can feel good about, if that makes any sense. Okay.
You know, it certainly makes sense. I mean, Linda, you know, you and I both have talked to not only Ellen, but to Diane as well. So there's some personality issues here that they need to kind of, listen, we have a job to do. And, but I do think we need to be more clear about boundaries, because I do think that's part of the issue.
Sure.
So to clarify boundaries would go a long way. But she is doing a job.
Oh, she's amazing. I mean, I thought Don Hebert was amazing, but this Joan has kicked it up at least five notches. They've gotten so much more, and she's so attentive, and she knows every single program that they're eligible for, and she just says, okay, who can't do it? Who doesn't know how to do it? Who doesn't have the resources to do it? And she does it with them. And so are they benefiting? 500% they're benefiting. And I'm sorry that it's 18 hours. I wish we could give her more. I will say that some of the extra money that, you know, we have built up in our state elderly and young disabled coffers, the $700,000. Kathy asked me to ask Janet Wortman if we could reimburse her for some time. And Janet said we could. I mean, you know, we can't give her another 10 hours, but, you know, in some situations, we may be able to boost her back to the two. So she's up to 20. I know that we have a lot of things. Go ahead.
Can I
Kathy.
Just say something sure. before I leave? I want to say that I'm glad that you recognize how valuable she is, because I really, I've talked to other housing areas, and I mean, she really is stellar. She really knows what she's doing, and she really does it because it's in her heart to make sure everyone is serviced. The fact that she would wait in a long line just to make sure she brought food to people who don't have access to cars. She very well might, you know, she might be following some of Ellen's leads, where she goes out to a dumpster at midnight because there's a raccoon there, or she goes out to a call for this or that. I mean, I think she's trying to feel like she fits in, like she's part of a family. She wants to work together with them. And again, there are personality issues, and I won't get into it because we're in an open forum meeting, but I really feel like she's just really doing a great job, and she wants to feel like she fits in with her family of people she works with. And you know, I'm just concerned that, you know, she's going to move on. Her hours are cut, and she's starting to feel a little bit of pressure that she shouldn't be doing all the things that she's doing. And in her mind, she's doing what she's supposed to do. She's supposed to be there for the people in our housing community. And I would recommend that somebody reaches out to the state to see if there's some extra money for people in her position. Because right now with COVID, I mean, Bob, you know how it is in the schools. We're running special programs for the kids. How do you feel today? You know, what is your feelings today? We have, you know, those signs on every door for every kid. Put your clothespin. Are you mad? Are you sad? Are you happy? Senior citizens are doing the same thing. They're secluded more than little kids are. Joan's position is really important. And I can't help but feel like the state has to have money somewhere for people like her. So I would really hope that some, you know, somebody reaches out to the state. I know we asked Ken, and he said, you know, he didn't know of any money, but he's not the end all. I mean, Linda and Bob, you both had contacts with people in the state. I would just give them a call and say, listen, our resident service coordinator got cut back. And we're looking for some extra hours. There's more for her to do now that COVID is here. And is there any way we can get some help?
We can reach out to Chaffa. I thought Ken had probably done that, but I can get a hold of Rhonda Caldwell and ask Rhonda. She would be, she's the one who administers to the state elderly and young disabled program for us. If anybody knows, it would be Rhonda above Ken.
I think it's important that our seniors feel safe I mean, and with her, they do. And I know that with Imagineers coming in and we have all these different maintenance people, that was one of the big problems she had mentioned was the residents are very nervous. They're nervous about getting sick. They're nervous about strangers. They're nervous they can't go shopping. And now they have all these guys all walking around. They don't know who anybody is. She's a real comfort for them. And, you know, I know it's important for all the other things that she does. She brings a lot of services in. And I think sometimes it's antagonizing to other people. They get annoyed that there's so much going on that they're not aware of all the time. But I feel like, you know, I just worry that she's going to get frustrated eventually and just move on.
Linda.
And that would be a lot.
You mentioned, do you feel, you mentioned talking to Janet about the possibility of the additional 2 hours. Would that be, are you comfortable with that every week?
I don't know about every week, but I think in some situations, you know, there are times that we can justify it. That's why I think if we had a tighter job spec, then when we want to give it to her, we can justify giving it to her. Right now, I ask Ellen, you know, what's on the grant is really little information and little guidance in the grant. So it looks like we're going to have to build one ourselves.
So her hours are 18 hours a week?
18 hours a week.
Okay. If you do the math on that, so that's 6 hours for each complex. Do the math. And then she goes to all three complexes typically every day. So that equals 2 hours a day at a complex. That's like not, I don't even know she could see everybody in those 2 hours.
She knocks doors and to see everybody,
no.
But I think.
Go ahead.
I think she makes appointments.
Yeah. Yep. But I don't know if you look at it in that way, like if you look at it, like she's at each resident's place for 2 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't, that's not a lot of
it's
time.
It's not a lot of time. It's true.
So, okay. I said my piece.
Well, and that's why I wanted it on the agenda tonight, because I wanted you to be able to speak, you know, openly about it. We're going to lose you after this month. And I know you've got some strong feelings about it. So I want you to be able to express that.
Yeah, I do. I really, being there in the summer a few times and during this year, popping in now and then and seeing her with the residents and how everyone knows her and turns to her. But yet she's still busy talking to people on the outside, bringing things in. I'm really more than impressed with her. Definitely.
She's great at what she does. I can't stress it enough. All right. Any other discussion on that? Then I'm going to move along to Ellen's report. I'm just going to update a little bit. Steiger, actually, number 31 is vacant, and they're working on getting that ready. CC Manor, we talked about. That's vacant. Number 12, been a long time getting that ready. And number 18. Over at Lakeview at the fire. So on Thursday, when I went in to sign the checks, the gentleman came in the contractor from the insurance company. We picked flooring, we picked cabinets, we picked carpeting, we picked paint and countertops. So I'm hoping by the end of the month, it'll be ready. I think what he did say to me is, the codicil to that is that they're having a really hard time. And I hear that from the folks who are doing the construction at CC Manor because of COVID and because I guess the resin plant that does things like flooring and windows, window frames and siding got wiped out in one of the first hurricanes that hit Louisiana. And so it's been really hard to get materials. I hear too, even from Ellen, that when we need to replace refrigerators and stoves, You sometimes can't get on back order.
Yep.
Yeah, it's difficult. But otherwise, we're pretty well leased up. All of the flips that we had, the apartment flips that we had from the summer, they're all done. People are in. I don't hear a lot of complaints. It seems like, for the most part, residents in each place are getting together, you know, getting along better, I think, because I know at Guardiano, things were pretty toxic for a while. They seem much better. I think there's some tenant issues over at CC that we're in the process of dealing with the attorney on, so we may have some other vacancies. I will say Ellen's right on top of that. And that's kind of where we are. Any questions or discussions? All right. Well, that brings us to adjournment. It is 7:12. Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, Bob. Oh. Is there a second?
Second.
Adam, thank you. All right. Motion carries. We're adjourned. And Kathy, thank you again.
Thank you,
for
Kathy.
Your time with us.
Thanks, everyone.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Be well. See you soon.
Thanks.
Yeah.
7:13 p.m. Thanksgiving, everybody.
You
thanks,
too,
Mark.
Thank you.